might use a road or a bridge today coming here? That's my all-time favorite question.
Does anyone ever say no to that? No. I mean, I can't imagine. Just given the topography of this great state, I can't imagine you drive very far in any direction that you don't go over a bridge or some sort of a water crossing.
That's right.
To get to where you're going.
Right. And how important it is. You know, we've had lots of bridges years previous to me. You know, the lieutenant governor spent a lot of time on roads, also a highway commissioner.
Right.
And spent a lot of time talking about roads and road funding and lack of in Missouri, actually. Let's just say the lack of road funding. I think that's the correct term. For years before I got here, then after I was here, he was still working on it. So I've always been interested in good quality roads for economic development and the fact that, you know, we're right here in the middle of the United States and we don't want to be the congestion center of the United States.
That's right.
And the interstate commerce and, of course, our great economic development and the companies that choose to land here and build their businesses and stuff and how important it is. But, you know, you hear a lot of conversation here that we're sending record revenue to all the state departments here in Jefferson City.
Right.
And so I decided to do a little bit of research on that. And did you know, I talk a lot about MoDOT has not had almost no increase because of the fuel purchases.
Well, not only that, Senator, but can the argument not also be made that actually the diminishing buying power of the dollar combined with no increase to speak of
1996
has actually reduced the amount of funding in these in our infrastructure system.
That's correct. Because you know we're at 17 cents a gallon right now, you know, state tax on gas and diesel. So you go back to 1996 and the fact that when I talk about this around the state, and I'm sure when the lieutenant governor had talked about it previous to me when he was a state senator, when he was on the commission and all that, people would look at you kind of funny when you would say, well, you know, our road funds are just not staying up what we need, and there's cars like going everywhere. You know, there's congestion, there's cars.
Right.
And people would say, how in the world can the commission and MoDOT spend all the money they're taking in the first place with all this traffic?
Right.
Well, the issue is the fuel purchases have been flat for many years because of the CAFE standards, the MPGs on trucks and cars and so on.
So we're actually getting better mileage.
Right.
We're probably driving more miles.
Which is a good thing.
Which is good, but we're getting better mileage. So we're actually utilizing roughly the same amount of fuel.
That's correct.
Even though the wear and tear on the roads is increasing.
Right.
Okay.
And, you know, another big thing about fuel taxes, fuel user fee tax, is it's a static tax.
Right.
It's so when the price of gasoline goes up, we actually buy less gasoline.
Right.
So it's per gallon. Now, on a sales tax, inflation, you automatically going to get bumps. Like I think recently our revenue, the last report was up like 4 or 5% or whatever it was. I don't really remember exactly.
So the daily numbers on revenue, and I don't have today's yet.
Yeah.
But they have been in the 6 and 7% increase.
Well, that's good.
That's
great. The only problem is our road fund has not had any increase.
Correct.
Now, you were talking about the $19.96 dollars in the cost of money now. Well, first of all, MoDOT don't get 17 cents anyway. There's about 30% of that goes to cities and counties.
Right.
So that brings them down to about 11.9, somewhere in there, which they get. And then you take the inflationary cost on what that can buy in 2020. Now, remember, we haven't done anything in 24 years. We haven't made zero adjustments. So actually, when you go into 1996, a dollar spending in 2020, what it might buy you, it's been devalued down to maybe 5 or 6 cents or something.
So almost a third of the buying power.
The purchasing power, yeah.
Currently, since there's been no increase. So the interesting thing, you know, when we talk about a gas tax, You know, I drive a diesel truck, and in my drive back and forth to Jeff City, I just kind of like to notice, you know, what the price of diesel is as I'm going through, you know, Camdenton. They've right. usually got some pretty economical fuel. You know, Max Creek, there's nothing there, but, you know, they don't even have a gas station. But, you know, I mean, like, you kind of, you know, on your way through, you kind of notice. And then depending on, quite frankly, depending on where you are in my wonderful, wonderful community that is Springfield, mm-hmm. the price of diesel can vary within the city limits of Springfield 10 cents from one gas station to another, 12 cents.
That's
from one gas station to another.
Right. Called competition.
Called competition. And it's always made me wonder, because people are getting fuel at all these stations, right? So it's always made me wonder if this user fee that keeps, quite frankly, the economic engine of this state that is transportation.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, everybody uses it. You know, your question is 100% valid. Yes. Did you drive over a bridge right. when you came to wherever you got to today?
Right.
One, absolutely valid, because that's, I mean, it, we're blessed in this state, don't get me wrong, to have the infrastructure that we have, but it's also an economic driver. And for me down in Southwest Missouri, we've got a lot of transportation trucks and industry in this, in my little world down there.
I tell you what, I think the senator from Dallas needs to introduce a very special guest, and we're going to pick right back up where you were at, if you don't mind.
I hope that the senator from Dallas.
Senator from Dallas.
Senator from Dallas, I hope that the senator from Dallas will also, in her most special introduction of some incredible guests, will remind our lieutenant governor, presiding officer, president of the Senate, where he is from.
Three senators on the floor. Senator from Dallas, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I seek unanimous consent to introduce some special guests.
Hearing no objection, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Directly ahead of you in the balcony behind me, I have a group of folks from Buffalo. It's Leadership Buffalo. They're here today, and I would like the senators to please make them feel welcome.
Let's welcome this group from Buffalo, Missouri, to the Senate chamber. Please rise. Senators, thank you for yielding to your peer from Dallas County. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator from Butler, and we're back.
See that move?
Yeah, I did.
You didn't think a guy my age could make that move, did you?
I think you've got a spring in that chair, Senator.
Well, let's go on with the road planning.
I want to talk
about competitiveness of the fuel prices.
Yeah, okay. I want a quick anecdotal story here. And you know, the senator from Platt mentioned how tech savvy you are. Let me tell you how tech savvy I am.
Okay.
So again, like, I'm confused. I guess we're still in yesterday. So today, maybe it was Monday, someday this week, I discovered, because I was working on an amendment that we're going to have, not on this bill, but it's going to be on a lot of bills, that deals with a number of our colleagues and their legislation. We're kind of wrapping it up, you know, in this nice little package, you know, to kind of streamline. I'm all about streamlining the process. When you're in business for yourself, you're all about getting more efficient, right?
Right, efficiency.
So in my work on this amendment, that I'm still working on the name and the phrasing of exactly how we're gonna talk about this, but I think you're gonna enjoy it.
Okay.
I needed to talk to a handful of our colleagues. Okay. Normally I would do the cell phone, right?
Okay.
Cell phone machine. Thank you, Ms. LaRue. The cell phone machine lets you get a hold of your colleagues pretty much wherever they are, except if you're driving through, on my drive home, if you're driving through a little place called Tunis, Missouri.
What is it?
Tunis. T-U-N-A-S. Tunis. Tunis,
I don't
Missouri.
Know where Tunis is.
It is a little community on Highway 73. It's got a couple of little bridges, wrapping it back around to what you want to talk about, transportation. But there is, Senator, there is no cell phone service. It's not like bad service. Mm-hmm. It's straight up no service in Tunis, Missouri. Okay? So here's what I found this week while I was working on this amendment. These office phones that we have in our offices, I mean, mine's on my desk, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. I've never used the thing. Well, no, that's not true. I took a constituent call the other last year.
I get constituent
last call. Year I had a constituent calling, and the good people in the outer office were talking with this individual, and I said, well, why don't you just let me talk to her? And so I did, and we had a great conversation. He was getting all this stuff. So I have used this phone before, don't get me wrong. But in an effort to be more efficient on my work on this amendment, I was explained by a very capable staff member in my office who's been around here a couple years that you can grab that phone on your desk and you can hit four numbers and you can call just about anybody around here. And I got on there and I was just calling people left and right. And it was great.
Wow.
Now, not everybody was in. I'll admit, you know, we're very busy. We're running around doing stuff, all this stuff. But it was one of the most efficient. I didn't have to.
You're easily amazed.
I didn't have to scroll. Well, I am. I mean, I am easily amazed. And I like to find those little things that bring joy to the world and then explain them, and you know, and hopefully other folks will appreciate that. Right. And then maybe they'll use their office phone to call their colleagues and be more efficient. You don't have to scroll. I mean, I don't know about you. I've got like 1,000 or something contacts in my phone. So you got to get in there, search. You got to find somebody, hit a cell phone number and all this stuff. Or you can just hit four numbers up here and wham, you got a colleague on the phone about 9 seconds. I mean, it is great. So anyway.
Amazing.
I'm trying to catch up on the tech-savvy nature of you, but I thought, you know, a guy in business like yourself would appreciate, you know, the fact that I found a more efficient way to get a hold of our colleagues if and only if they're in their office.
You discovered a very high-tech instrument either on your desk or behind your desk that you're able to really be efficient and productive during your workday.
Well,
and to contact your colleagues in this building.
It was a thing of wonder, Senator. It was a thing of wonder. So, we've got bridges in Tunis. We got bridges all over this. In fact, we got a new bridge. I guess in the grand scheme of things, these bridges anymore, they probably last, what? A lot of them are 50, 60, 70 years old. I'll bet the new ones have a longer lifespan than that, I hope. Hope the technology's gotten better and all this. But probably 2-3 years ago, Mr. Patrick McKenna could probably tell you the exact date, we got a new bridge in Tunis. Which was great, except that you couldn't drive through there for like 6 months. Now, we weren't in session, so it wasn't that big of a deal for me. But then I had to drive around, take 5, go through Lebanon. And I prefer the more scenic route. Mm-hmm. So, back to bridges, back to funding.
Well, back to funding. We were talking about how much money we actually have. And I said there's been a lot of talk here in Jefferson City that we're sending record amounts of revenue to Jefferson City. And that is accurate. That's an accurate statement. However, there's one department that has not been getting record revenue. I'd like for you to guess what department that is.
I'm guessing it's not the Missouri Lottery. So let's go with the Department of Transportation.
There you go. Which is pretty important. Pretty important.
Well, Senator, I would say that infrastructure is one of those, you know, we like to talk about the core functions of government. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of say that with like a core functions of government. Like these are the things we must do in this state. Infrastructure, right. Senator, my opinion, a core function of government. That is, the system that we have in this state is not only an asset to the state, but it is necessary and an economic driver for this state, as well as too big for any one community to wrap its arms around and take care of the whole thing itself. So we have to, as a state, take care of this asset that we have.
You know, I understand, you know, how amazed you were on how fast you could contact your colleagues.
Yeah, that was...
By that electronic device.
Blew me away.
Yeah. It amazed me when I found this.
Stay close to your phone, because I'm going to be...
You're going to start ringing me on that extension?
I'm going to be using that thing more often. Yeah.
So what the... Well, what it is, you have an extension to everybody now. You don't have to ring a whole bunch of numbers. You can just,
right.
like, ring four numbers and get me.
That's right. Whew. It's going to be good. A lot of people are going to be excited about this.
That's scary.
And I'll be honest with you, I got a lot of answers on the other end that were shocked that I was calling. Senator, what?
Well,
what
I'm
are
amazed.
You doing? I was like, hey, just calling to say hey.
Well, I'm amazed at the job that MoDOT has done with 1996 funding.
So,
here we are 24 years later with a whole lot more traffic.
Right, right.
With using 1996 purchasing power for 2020 goods. But I need to get back just real... You got something?
No, well, I was just going to say that, you know, I think sometimes, you know, MoDOT several years ago went through, I think they kind of branded it as a right-sizing of their department.
That
they
was got in rid 2010,
of some, began they got, in 2010. They got rid of some maintenance sheds. They sold off some equipment. They did what, you know, they became more efficient, right? They sure. found the phone on their desk.
Right.
in that model. And sometimes... When we make changes like that, people think that, well, we don't have an issue anymore. See, they just figured out a way to save some money and reinvest these dollars or be more efficient. And so, great. And we ought, look, Senator, we ought to do that. We ought to be as efficient as we possibly can be with every tax dollar that we've got in this state, whether it's a dollar from a citizen here in Missouri, or whether it's, you know, some matching dollar that comes back to us from the federal government.
The 4-to-1 match is very important.
The 4-to-1 matching
four
is
to one match.
Incredibly important. I remember there was a conversation a few years ago, I think whenever I was in the House, that we were concerned that we weren't going to have the ability to match those funds, and we were going to lose some of that 4-to-1 match.
Well, which I understand
that is that would just be an egregious
to lose
mismanagement of our state resources. I mean,
right.
anytime you can pull $4 for the one you put in down,
right.
Senator, you've been in business your whole life. When would you not make that deal?
That's a great return. That's a great return. Well, the really, you know, we talked about record revenue coming to this state, coming into general revenue, and that is accurate, the best I can tell. However, for MoDOT in 2019 actually received $200 million less than they did in 2010. What our research shows us?
$200 million less?
Less. Now remember, they're already penalized because of the cost of, you know, inflation and the cost of goods. I know back when I did some research and got some from MoDOT, back in 1996, I believe, it's right in there, to do a 2-inch overlay at that time was costing about $50,000 a mile.
$50,000 a mile.
To do like a 2-inch overlay?
Sure.
And the last number I seen, depending on whether it's an interstate or just exactly what it is, it's as much as $185,000 a mile.
That's more than, did you say 50?
More than tripled.
Yeah.
185.
Yeah, so started at 50, 55.
Now about 50,000.
Now it's 180.
In 96 to like around 185. There could be some a little bit less, some a little bit more, but last time I seen it was like 185,000. So for the life of me, I don't understand why we are strangling the thing that keeps all of our families safe, economic development. For those who may be wanting to locate a business in Missouri, you think that they would be excited to learn that we haven't increased our road funding in 24 years?
I would think that...
But do you think you'd be excited about that?
Well, the short answer is no, but since I'm not into short answers, I'm gonna elaborate just a little bit on that no. I just knew it was going to be a yes or no. I would think that those individuals and those businesses would want us to be investing in the infrastructure that would,
that they might be
one,
locating.
Move their product.
Right.
Two, get their workforce back and forth.
Their suppliers to, coming to them.
That's right. That's right. You know, and I think one of the things, and I'm sure you and I will have an opportunity to talk about this, and we can do it now for a little while, and I'm sure we'll do it again later.
It's not real busy in here right now.
It doesn't seem to be real busy. I mean, a lot of people got real excited because there was like, you know, the senator from Newton showed up, and he was kind of, he's like signing stuff real fast,
man.
And he was doing stuff. And I mean, for the senator from Newton, that's great. I mean, but now we've kind of slowed down again, so maybe we've hit another hiccup. I don't know. But the thing that I think on this road funding stuff that oftentimes is lost in this discussion, Senator, how about the wear and tear
on your
vehicle?
Oh my gosh.
When you're driving on these roads, and I'm sure you were intently listening earlier when I was telling the senator from the 8th about my younger days of driving a Jeep Wrangler. I'm satisfied that had I continued to do that, and I know some of your esteemed staff drives those, but the suspension on a Jeep Wrangler now is probably something similar to like the lunar landing device, as opposed to the leaf spring suspension of the mid-90s.
Ooh.
Because a leaf spring suspension
on those old,
you might as well have bolted the axles to the frame and then driven down the road. I don't know why we bought shocks for these things, because I don't know that they did anything. I don't think they slowed down a bump one. And when you're talking about the roads and the bridges and the disrepair, mm-hmm, of this largest asset we have in this state. Some people say it's Echo Bluff State Park. It might be, but I think it's also roads and bridges. The wear and tear on individuals' cars is a cost that I believe, if was enumerated to the population of this state, you know what they'd say? They'd say, invest in our roads. You'll actually save me money.
Oh, my gosh. I'm kind of glad that that was a short answer.
It could have just been no, but, almost, you know, here we are.
I almost forgot where I was at, but I still know where I'm at. But let's talk about that a second. Hey, check this out. I've always wondered about, you know, you hear the old adage, you step over a dollar to pick up a dime.
Right, right. Yeah, heard it.
Let me give you a couple pieces of information here.
In the cattle business, it's lose a dollar and then lose a dime. But,
you got to be careful in the cattle business. I can tell you the lieutenant governor's not paying much attention right now. But you have to be, you know, you got to make sure you know what you're doing in
gotta
the cattle business.
You got to make sure you know what you're doing.
You got to know when to hold them, when to fold them. I heard you talking earlier today.
That will be an infamous line from the senator from the 5th.
Ooh.
Senator from the 5th actually made that that reference.
Really?
On an amendment.
Wow.
That I believe was offered by said senator that then was voted against also by the senator who offered it, as well as everyone else in the chamber at that time.
That's pretty interesting.
Well, it was a unique situation.
I heard you explaining today about calving.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was listening about calving. And
yeah,
I'm glad that you explained that. So,
we've got, like I said, I like to call them politely suburban neighbors. I don't know everything about, you know, managing a golf course. So, you know, when the senator from Franklin wants to, you know, have a conversation about that, I'm more than happy to do that. I think he likes to play golf and probably knows something about that. I mean, I know a little bit about growing grass, but I think it's probably a different environment on a golf course than it is in a pasture. But hey, you know.
You ever seen him hit a golf ball?
Yes, I've seen him hit a golf ball.
Hey, that golf ball gets crunched.
Yeah, I feel a little bad for the ball in that scenario.
Let's go back to stepping over a dollar to pick up a dime.
Right.
All right, here we go. Did you know, and this is proven by a really highly respected institute in Washington, D.C., believe it or not, I think they're out of Washington, but they work for the American Trucking Association, or like a division of, and right. they do a lot of research all the time. Right. One's on congestion. All right? Now check this out. The congestion in our country today, and I'm going to say probably in the lower 48, probably 30 states would probably be involved in this, in the congestion. Are you listening?
I'm listening.
You're reminding me of the senator from the third right now, from San Genevieve. Because I'd be over giving out some really good stuff, and I would look over there, and he was not listening to nothing.
I was getting some thanks for the shout out to Tunis, Missouri, and okay. I'm gonna have to respond to a couple of these folks and say, hey, I appreciate that. I'm always happy to, you know, stand up for small town America, but I don't have your cell phone number saved in my phone, so I'll have to politely say, who's this?
Yeah.
And then we'll figure that out. But anyway, go ahead. So we're talking congestion.
Well,
so
talking
the one thing that I want you to know from, you know, and the Center for Platt and I, you know, we happen to be just on the very, very tail end cusp of the millennial generation. But one thing that I try to pride myself on is multitasking.
What?
Multitasking. So just know this, I'm always listening with one ear.
Mm-hmm. But in this case, it's going to require both of them.
Okay, I'm in.
All right. Now, I did refer to the senator from third, the former senator from the third.
Uh-huh.
St. Genevieve County. He used to do the same stuff to me, you know. He could stand over and actually, I think,
half
sleep.
Half the time the senator from the third was in here, he was sitting down. With some sort of a glow stick on a wheel,
well,
or a cone, some sort of a hazardous environment that he had created on the other side of the chamber. I mean,
well, the sergeant at arms, he got worried about the safety of other senators walking by the senator.
Which is fair. That's a real concern.
So I actually brought some orange cones in, and I thought I was doing everybody a favor by pointing out the fact that that's an at-risk zone when you walk by his desk over in that corner.
Right.
And it lasted for a little while. Then the sergeant at arms, he determined that it might be considered a prop. I only considered it to be a safety.
My guess is we'd be talking about another piece of tort legislation had someone been injured in the environment over there.
Right.
And we hadn't had a cone up.
Well,
so
yeah,
back to congestion.
All right, back to stepping over a dollar to pick up a dime.
Right. Losing a dollar and then losing a dime, too.
All right. The congestion. Am I taking these numbers and extrapolating it like what it would mean to Missouri? But right now in the nation, the congestion right now is equal to 425,533 truck drivers sitting still for a whole year.
Sitting still?
For a whole year.
425,533?
Yep. And two-thirds.
And two-thirds sitting still.
Sitting still for a whole year, not moving.
Not moving.
Not moving.
Not because they don't want to move.
Not because they don't want to move.
But because we are so congested
right.
on our roadways, they can't.
That's right. They can't move. Now, put that in perspective, that's 1.2 billion hours of productivity right down the drain.
Lost.
Because we're not investing in our infrastructure properly or highway.
Now, this is nationwide, 1.2 billion.
Yep. So I think probably about 30 states is probably involved somehow with congestion.
Oh, I'm
you
sure.
You know, like North Dakota, South Dakota. Chances are, I mean, they may have a wreck up there sometime or do some road construction and traffic might back up a half a mile or a mile or something or whatever. There's several states that don't. I'm talking about the lower 48. So that equals we are spending almost $75 billion a year. $75 billion a year in non-productivity
just because we can't get where we're going because of the disrepair
that we really
this infrastructure.
That's correct.
You know,
now that also includes states that are trying to invest in the roads. Now, you can imagine what that number would be if they were pretending to be like Missouri.
And not
doing things since 1996. That number would probably be over 2 million truck drivers sitting around not doing anything for a whole year in their truck, idling.
Idling, sitting on a highway.
Sitting on a highway. Now, that does not count the folks trying to get to work.
Yeah, this is, yeah, so there's an important distinction to be made here. You're only talking, and when you say trucks,
big rig,
you're talking those 53
foot. You know, they bring
your
food to you, yep. Little minor deals like that, you know?
You're not talking about all the congestion for all the passenger cars and trucks on these roads as well.
That's correct.
I'll bet that number is absolutely staggering.
Well, you know, they talk T's up in Washington, D.C., you know, the $1 trillion number. You know, a few weeks ago I told you about the $1 trillion monthly, what we were doing there, $1 trillion spending. But at any rate, I go back and I get to thinking, that's about $2 billion alone just for Missouri. $2 billion. So here we are. I tried to get a 2-cent fuel user fee increase. The first one.
In 24 years? Did you say 96? 1996?
In 24 years.
Yep.
That was going to cost the average motorist about 60 or 75 cents a month. You would have thought that we were breaking the piggy bank. And that's where I go with that stepping over a dollar to pick up a dime. Well, see, because you're going to pay for it anyway. You're going to pay for it a lot more.
Senator, that's my point. My point is that you're going to pay for this, and the more we can explain and tell this story to the public, I believe the more they are going to see the value in investing in that. Because the unintended maintenance costs associated with failing infrastructure and lost productivity far outweigh, and we're talking, I'm talking about to the actual individual citizen who has to pay for the repair job because of bad roads.
How about the safety of their children on school buses?
Sure.
How about the safety of their daughter or their son going to college or driving up to Mizzou from Poplar Bluff, Missouri.
Right.
If you want to take a little ride, you need to ride to Poplar Bluff with me sometime on my little route. Now, it's exciting down through there. I mean, you got log trucks. We got more curves per mile than Watkins Glen NASCAR track.
Uh-huh.
And they're sharper. I mean, you go into different counties sometimes just making turns. I'm serious. Denton Reynolds. But we're talking about serious stuff here. You know, you were talking about the bridges, the age of them.
Right.
You know, the confluence of the Mississippi and Ohio River over in my district, over by Cairo, Illinois, Charleston, Missouri.
Yep.
There's two bridges over there that's older than anybody in this chamber right now. That includes me. That's pretty doggone old. All right. They're both approaching 90 years old. And anybody ever been across those double bridges, over those dual bridges, twin bridges? They were built like within a year or two of each other.
Okay.
And they are like super dangerous. So here's what happens. You got a man and a wife about my age. We're in our big old, we finally buy us a motorhome. And we live over there in Tennessee somewhere or North Carolina or somewhere. And we decide, we heard about this place called Branson, Missouri.
I've heard of it.
Branson.
Heard of it.
So we fire up our big old motorhome. And we see that it's a red road. It goes down to Tulane from Paducah to Interstate 57, which is by Charleston.
Right.
And you have to drive on a levee for like 10 miles. I'm serious. And you approach this bridge coming from Kentucky. First thing you do is make a 90-degree turn.
Right.
Three senators standing. Senator from the 23rd, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Will you please lay that bill on the informal calendar?
That bill shall be placed on the informal calendar. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Staying on the same calendar, I'd ask you to recognize the senator from Newton for a motion on Senate Bill 591.
Staying on that same calendar, Senator from Newton County is recognized for Senate Bill number 591.
Thank you, Mr. President. I request that you bring Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 591 off the informal calendar, bring it back in front of the body.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Newton County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, your bill is now before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I request you send the committee sub back, and I have a new committee sub.
Senator, if you'll move for the adoption of the Senate committee sub and then send your substitute forward, we'll move for the adoption of that.
Mr. President, I move for the adoption of my Senate committee sub.
And you have a Senate substitute?
Senate committee substitute, excuse me.
Yes, send your Senate substitute forward.
Senate substitute.
Thank you, Senator. Are you requesting a waiver of the reading of the substitute?
Yes, Mr. President, I am requesting a waiver of the reading.
Hearing no objection, a waiver of the reading shall be granted. Now, Senator, if you wouldn't mind, move for the adoption of the Senate substitute and then feel free to explain it.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do move for the adoption of the Senate substitute. Mr. President, this bill is the punitive damages bill. It also has a portion of the MMPA language on it. It's been being negotiated during the evening that we just spent here. I think all parties are in pretty much agreement with what we have. We do have an agreement. We have it in front of us. It has not changed significantly, in my opinion, from the original bill we've had. We've made concessions on both sides to language. I'd be very happy to take any questions on any part of the bill.
Senator, I'm sorry, were you in the middle of explaining your substitute?
Oh, excuse me, Mr. President. I haven't taken any questions.
Let me just restate the motion for the benefit of the body. The senator from Newton has moved for the adoption of Senate Substitute Number 1 for the Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 591. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Butler was seeking recognition, I believe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm seeking unanimous consent to introduce a very special guest that's been here for a little bit.
Hearing no objection, Senator, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. With us today from Caruthersville, Missouri, and that's a long ways. I know the President of the Senate right there is knows how far that is. He's been there several times. We have Braxton Watkins, sixth grade gifted student from Caruthersville. We have Ashley Reynolds, Kobe Reynolds, Izzy Reynolds, and Sandra Hooker, who's one of our great teachers down in that district, Mr. President. So if we would make them
would these guests of the Senator from Butler County please rise, and would the Senate make them feel welcome in the upper gallery today? Senator from the first, for what reason do you rise?
Newton.
Senator from Newton, do you yield to an inquiry?
I yield, Mr. President.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, I have to tip my cap to the guests of the Senator from Butler. My understanding is that they were sitting in the upper gallery waiting to be recognized since the senator from the 23rd bill hit the floor yesterday afternoon, which was quite a wait for them.
That is dedication.
Yeah, for the benefit of members of the body, I see that we have some special guest-looking type people filtering in. If you've got guests, by all means, go to three senators standing. Nobody's going to be too upset about it. So, Senator... this is version 0.14F, correct?
That is correct.
Got it. So I am relatively familiar with that version. Not wild about it. At the same time, I don't know that I'll have quite as many questions about this bill as I did about the last bill that hit the floor under the circumstances. But it's fair to say that there have been a lot of conversations in this building in the last approaching 24 hours now. About this subject matter. You and I have had conversations about much of the language that's in this bill, both this morning and in past discussions. And I think it's fair to say there are a lot of, I mean, there's a lot that is in here that is similar to what was on the floor a week ago, but there's also a lot that's different as well.
We have made significant changes. We dealt with lots of people that were interested in this bill. Prior to starting the negotiate about 2 o'clock, I believe it was this morning, we'd spent, I would guess, probably 12 hours dealing with different groups on this bill. I think we each side did some good give and take on it. I'm comfortable with where the bill stands now. I think everybody else is pretty comfortable where it stands now because we actually did bring it out here on a yellow back. So I think we're good. You know, nobody ever gets quite everything they want, and there were things we gave up we'd rather not, and there were things that I think they gave up they'd rather not. So one of those deals where maybe if nobody's totally ecstatic,
And I would count myself among the not totally ecstatic, to say the very least, but we are where we are. It is the process that we have. And I was, frankly, on the floor or doing what I needed to do to be able to stay in the debate, I'll say it that way, while a lot of these conversations were happening. But I know there was one conversation that I was part of, and actually I think there are a couple of changes that I had in here that got incorporated, including making sure that any changes are on the punitive damages language are prospective only.
Yes.
Actions to be filed subsequent to the effective date of the act, which would be August 28. And then I think one of the other changes that I had, and you know what? I've slept since then. I'm embarrassed to admit. But
I'm jealous.
I'm not alone. There was another change that was incorporated as well. I think dealing with what the response of pleading would look like once leave was granted to plead punitive damages, and making sure that we don't reopen an entire can of worms and let new parties get sucked into the action and those kinds of issues. The standard in here is an either-or standard for punitive damages. The evidentiary standard remains clear and convincing evidence as it is in current law. To get an award, the plaintiff would have to prove the defendant either intentionally harmed the plaintiff without just cause or acted with a deliberate and flagrant disregard for the safety of others. I don't mean to gloss over this at all. Generally speaking, I'm of the view, if a jury's really ticked off, they're going to find a way to conclude that the evidence meets that standard. If a jury's not ticked off, they're not going to, whether it's the language we have in law and in the instruction now, or whether it's what tracks in this bill. And so while it's not the standard I would choose, it's probably not the standard you would choose. It's a standard that's in 0.14F, and I think that's what we're going to be talking about. So there are a lot of other pieces to this. I'll appreciate that members of the body probably don't need to hear quite the treatment that my caucus gave the preceding bill for this bill at this time. But for those who are concerned, rest assured, a lot of discussion has gone into this, and folks from all sides of the issue, I think, were fairly represented in those conversations.
I totally agree. We had to, I think sometimes I was outnumbered. But no, it was very, there was lots of discussion on both sides, definitely. Lots of parties involved getting their input, even if they weren't in the room all the time. There were right. A lot of people.
Right. Well, you're probably not going to see me light the green light on this one, Senator, but I don't have any amendments to offer or further inquiry to render. So thank you for yielding to my inquiry. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
To restate the motion, we are on the adoption motion of Senate Substitute Number 2 for the Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 591. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Johnson County.
Thank you, Mr. President. I seek unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Hearing no objection, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. My guest would please rise. To my left and to your right, I have some gifted students and their instructor and a couple of their parents from Marshall, Missouri. I have students Mackenzie Dow, Avery Evans, Eliza Paprick, Ayla Constaneda, Marissa Vestal, Lori Peel, Kathy Paprick, and Crystal Vestal. I ask the body please make them feel
welcome.
Would
the Senate welcome these students from Marshall, Missouri to the chamber today? Further discussion on the adoption motion offered by the Senator from Newton County. Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I close, Mr. President.
Senator from Newton renews his motion that Senate Substitute Number 2 for the Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 591 be adopted. Is many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate Substitute. Senator from Newton.
President, I now move the Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 591 be declared perfected and ordered printed.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Newton County. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I close, Mr. President.
Senator from Newton renews his motion that the Senate Substitute Number 2 for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 591 be perfected and ordered printed. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have perfected and ordered printed the Senate Substitute for Senate Bill 591. Senator from Boone County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, The Senate will go to the order of business of announcements, and I would ask that you recognize me for an announcement.
Hearing no objection, the order of business shall be announcements. Senator from Franklin.
Mr. President, can I inquire of you briefly?
State your inquiry.
I am not sure. Is today the 25th or the 26th?
26th, Senator.
The 26th. I have
We're
a note
on the 25th as far as the journal day, though.
As far as the 25th. I'm not sure if I referred this bill on the 25th day or if I still need to make the referral. I already did. Okay, so I already did. Mr. President, that's all I need.
Nice speaking with you, Senator. The order of business is announcements. Senator from Andrew County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee on appropriations meeting that was scheduled a little later today has been canceled.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from Franklin.
Mr. President, your committee on gubernatorial appointments will meet upon recess?
Adjournment.
Hold on.
Senator from Boone, I hope you're not condoning the ingress and egress lines the Senator from Franklin just clearly violated. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an announcement for the benefit of the body. I'm going to make an adjournment motion, and we will reconvene upon the completion of our gubernatorial appointments committee. We will reconvene for this day's business. I will make the motion to adjourn until 11 a.m., this day. We will come in, we will gavel in, we will allow bills to be introduced, go through those formal orders of business, and then we will go home and sleep. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further announcements. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move that the Senate stand adjourned until 11 a.m. this day.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Boone County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate shall stand adjourned until 11 a.m. this day.